ora, and welcome to Tea with the High Commission. I'm Iona Thomas, British High Commissioner to New Zealand. Welcome to our podcast. In this podcast, we explore the connections between the UK and New Zealand through conversation with some very interesting Brits and New Zealanders. I invite you to join in the conversation by leaving comments and questions.
Kia ora. Today I'm in Christchurch and speaking to Fareed Ahmed. Fareed moved to New Zealand from Bangladesh over 30 years ago. His wife Husna joined him in New Zealand after he gained citizenship. And he is the father of a daughter, Shifa, a senior leader at the Elnor Mosque in Christchurch, and he works as a homeopath. He is perhaps most known, however, for being a survivor of the Christchurch Mosque terrorist attack on the 15th of March 2019. His wife was sadly one of the 51 people killed in that attack. The 15th of March was one of the darkest days in New Zealand, and the horrific attack led to widespread global coverage. Fareed has since become a global voice of peace, love and forgiveness, and was made a member of the New Zealand Order of Merit for services to interfaith communities. He was also nominated for New Zealander of the Year in 2021. Fareed, thank you for being with us today. And thank you for letting us into your home, especially during Ramadan. Salaam alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak.
Alaikum assalam, Ramadan Mubarak, and thank you for coming. It's a privilege to have you with us at our home, and it's very humbling for your visit. So
I
really welcome you from the bottom of our hearts.
Thank you so much. So my podcast is called Tea with the High Commission, and normally we would be sharing a cup of tea together, but as it is Ramadan, you're fasting. But can you tell us, if it wasn't Ramadan or when you break your fast, do you drink tea, and what kind of tea do you drink?
Maybe mostly English tea. Because I'm from a district called Silhet. Mm-hmm. And then, during the British ruling, mm-hmm. In our hilly district, mm-hmm. They had planted tea, and they created beautiful tea gardens. Mm-hmm. So we are spoiled with our own tea, mm-hmm. right from the childhood.
Excellent. Well, a fellow tea lover, I love a good cup of tea, so that's lovely to discover. So Fareed, you've written a book which you've given to me called Husna's Story, mm-hmm. which is about your late wife and about her death and your journey of forgiveness. It's a beautiful book. I've started to read it, and you open with your heart to others in that. Why did you decide to express yourself in this way through writing the book?
There are a few reasons. So the first reason was to honor her. Mm-hmm. Mm. And I was thinking right from the first day that how I could honor her. If I had money, probably I could have established a charitable hospital, mm-hmm. In her name. But I didn't have money, so I thought all the options. And then I thought, well, I probably could write something. Mm. And maybe, if... it becomes a good story. People will read, people will be inspired from her selflessness. Mm-hmm. So that was the biggest reason. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But also I thought that, I could, capture the history, mm-hmm. Of the moment, what happened. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people can read about it in generation after generation. And also I wanted it to be a sharing of love by donating the royalty to, mm-hmm. Send an ambulance, because they, mm-hmm. save life. Mm-hmm. They are very dedicated people, mm-hmm. in compassionate areas. So I thought that I could take a tiny part, mm-hmm. In that.
Well, there are a huge number of reasons there, and you really do open your heart in that story and tell us about your relationship and also the tragic events that unfolded. But going back to talking about Husna, can you tell us a bit about how you met her?
I saw her briefly and then I came to New Zealand. Mm-hmm. And I had to struggle to get my visa sorted. But when I became a citizen, then I was thinking that I was financially independent and I should look for a wife. Mm-hmm. So I thought of her and I asked my parents to go and talk to her. And if they say yes, and if she said yes, you know, then we would go ahead. Mm-hmm. So.
And luckily everybody said yes.
Luckily everybody said yes.
And then she came to join you in New Zealand.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, great. And returning then to your story of sort of compassion and forgiveness that came out of the awful attack and your wife's loss, you became known around the world as someone who advocates forgiveness, which is amazing considering the hatred that you faced at the mosque on that terrible day. What compelled you to spread the message of forgiveness, particularly when you gave your famous speech at the National Memorial about spreading love and not hate?
What compelled me was who I was, and what sort of belief was implanted in me through my religious teachers and through my families. It was about human, and I was taught from my religious teachers that, you know, all humans are the children of Adam and Eve, mm-hmm. therefore we are one family, mm-hmm. and then we are not to judge one another. It is God who will judge, but our duty is to look after one another as family members. So therefore, you know, when I thought that way, the killer of my wife, you know, he was, you know, my human brother, and he did something terribly, terribly wrong. I did not support that. So when I was asked the question by a journalist soon after the killing, he asked me that, you know, how was I feeling towards the killer of my wife, and it was without any editing or thinking, you know, what came out. I remember what came out from my mouth was that, you know, I still love him as my human brother, but I do not support what he did. Mm-hmm. So from that mentality and the personality that I had, mm-hmm. I didn't have to work hard or I didn't have to think. Mm-hmm. It came spontaneously that, you know, he was my brother and he needs chances. If I was in his place and I was influenced by the bad thinking, and if I did something wrong, then I would have asked for a second chance. So I thought what I expect for myself, you know, I should show the example that I should give the other people the same thing.
That sort of depth of ability to forgive and to see that humanity is truly sort of awe-inspiring for that sort of pain that you felt. I think there's something about that depth and genuineness about your message that really lands with other people, because you are now, you travel and you speak to a whole range of audiences about this message of forgiveness, and it comes through in your book as well. And I think there's something about your ability to convey that which is incredibly moving. And it's not just from the appalling Christchurch attack, but you've also confronted other really quite dark times in your life, because more than 8 years ago you were struck by a drunk driver and suffered life-changing injuries from that. And so that time as well, when you were really tested, can you tell us a little bit about how, again, you managed to sort of dig deep and channel some of your emotions to overcome that incident as well?
What we do and how we act depends on what is inside us, what is the philosophy for life, how we take the life, how we take the, you know, human relationship, you know, these sort of things are main drivers inside us. So, as I said, you know, I believe in my personality, I believe, and I have been practicing that you know, loving other human unconditionally is the start. Mm-hmm. You know, forgiveness is a finished product. Mm-hmm. You know, it is not the beginning. Mm-hmm. Without few things behind it, mm-hmm. I think one would struggle to forgive. So forgiveness, the unconditional love, mm-hmm. and also it needs a compassion, mm-hmm. towards one another, and we all need that. And also we need some little bit of common sense, mm-hmm. that what would be better after losing something? Should I do something to lose more, mm-hmm. or should I do something to heal quickly? So a little bit of common sense and wisdom about seeing the future, mm-hmm. that now something has happened, what sort of reaction will be bring good future or bad future for me and for others. So those things together, in a love, unconditional love, common sense, compassion and wisdom. Mm-hmm. You know, those things I think has helped me. Mm-hmm. I'm not calling I'm very wise, you know, I'm a dummy, but just little bit of things of everything, mm-hmm. has probably helped me, mm-hmm. to take the forgiveness as the easiest option, mm-hmm. for my healing, mm-hmm. and also bring reconciliation, mm-hmm. to other people. Mm-hmm. And after my accident, you know, exactly the same way I was thinking, was before I thought about it, mm-hmm. you know, my wife was, you know, ahead of me. Mm-hmm. You know, when I regained my consciousness and I said, what happened to me? She was smiling and she was saying that, you know, a unfortunate bugger, probably he didn't have a good day and he was driving wrongly and, you know, he caused this. So when I saw she was not angry, she was very relaxed and she was finding excuses, mm-hmm. you know, to show sympathy towards him, mm-hmm. you know, that also helped. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Husna was also someone who had a great capacity for, yes. compassion and understanding. That
definitely.
Sounds like that's something that you shared.
Yes. Together. And same, you know, with my daughter. Mm-hmm. You know, on that night, 15th of March, mm-hmm. around 11 o'clock, we had a meeting. And then, you know, we had a meeting in our kitchen. Mm-hmm. So I asked her a couple of questions, and she was only 15, mm-hmm. you know. And I said, today I'm going to ask you a question, and I want the answer from you. Mm-hmm. She said, Dad, I'm only 15. Do you expect me to answer the hard question? I said, you can do it. You try. So the two questions were, one question was that what to do now? Mm-hmm. We lost somebody, mm-hmm. and we are a team. Now should we quit the game or compliment one another and fight back? Should we break down, mm-hmm. and destroy our future, or we become stronger? Mm-hmm. So she said, second one. Mm-hmm. We become stronger. Then second question I asked her, how should we feel towards the killer? And she said, sympathetic. Because probably, you know, something had happened in his life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, probably we cannot understand fully. Mm-hmm. But we are so lucky that, you know, we are grown you know, we are growing up through love, through nice environment, through happiness. But who knows what happened to him? Because if he was like me, he could not have done what he had done. So, yeah, I'm very privileged, very lucky to have Husna and to have my daughter. We are a team and we all think in the same way.
Yes, it sounds like, you know, at the age of 15 and in the aftermath of such sort of grief and tragedy for your 15-year-old daughter to be able to have that wisdom and compassion, it sounds like it was something that she definitely drew from her mother's example, his example, and your example. So to be able to see past that immediate pain is incredibly impressive. And looking at the wider community, not just your response as a family, we're now in 2023, 4 years on from that day. How has the Muslim community of New Zealand and Christchurch come together since then?
The biggest thing my community had shown after the attack, and I'm very, very impressed with them. And that was, they were crying, they were in pain, but they were not violent. You know, I'm very proud of them. This is exactly what is the teaching of Islam. Peaceful, and deal with anything in a peaceful way. So they had done that. Because it was a massive thing, you know, some people are still, they are vulnerable, they are suffering, but they are healing slowly. And other people, fortunately, they tried to heal quickly and they bounced back. So in every society you get three classes of people, very vulnerable, and some are moderate, and some are top, so quick. So we, you know, we have these three categories. But, you know, the good thing is when you have a train on the peaceful track, then even though it goes slowly, but, you know, you hope that it will end up in a peaceful destination. So that has been happening with our community. So yeah, we had a couple of tough years, and then we had COVID, and now, you know, we are better, and we are coming together, and lots of activities are going on. People are organizing events, Muslim, non-Muslims coming together, you know, lots of cohesive activities are going on. So, yeah, all are looking good, and, you know, good. I hope that the best will come.
And for Christchurch as a city, which has gone through, you know, difficulties with the earthquake and then the attack which shocked the entire city, how do you feel that the city is coming through this? And you talked about the community on its pathway and its journey to resilience. What do you see about the wider?
You know, Christchurch people, you know, we don't die easily. We are very resilient. And you know, I think, you know, after every incident, we are becoming stronger. Even you look at the building in the city. Before the earthquake, we had all old buildings, and now it's beautiful. You know, it is model building with, you know, a great outlook. You know, good for the tourists. So, yeah, you know. Every incident is making us more resilient, stronger, and more compassionate. And according to the Charter of Compassion, Christchurch City has been considered as a compassionate city. So in future, we are, you know, going to, you know, work more to explore to the world that Christchurch is a compassionate city, and also to motivate our people in Christchurch to be compassionate towards one another. And after 15th of March, we have seen that, it was amazing. It was amazing how city came together, and then flowers and programs, it brought everyone together. Earthquake also brought everyone together. After the earthquake, we were out in the street, all neighbors came. Before earthquake, we never had the chance to say hello to one another, but the earthquake brought us together, and that was amazing. So we do not hope any bad thing comes to us, but it is a fact all around the world. Actually, something bad comes to teach us a lesson, and then we tend to become more civil, and then human. We start forgetting, and then something happens to remind me. Remember yourself. So all good. All good in Christchurch. We will become stronger and we will come closer, and we are working on it.
And you talk about finding those sort of the light in those dark times, and it's evident that it's one of your missions in life to be that light of forgiveness in the world. What message do you have for those listening who may be struggling with dark times, with forgiveness, about how they can lead a life of forgiveness and compassion?
Some people, when I travel here and there, they ask me how can you forgive? We don't understand. Or sometimes they say, oh, I cannot do this. But I'll tell you, no, you can. You can. Something you are afraid of, and that's why you are not looking at your own heart. But, just get rid of the fear and look at your own heart, and you will find that you are a compassionate person. You are a person able to forgive. As I said, if we just check on few things inside us, if we just make a list. Number one, loving. Am I a selfish lover or unconditional lover? Just do a little bit of checking. I do that. For my self-correction, I list down few things and I check. Am I up to the standard or not? I do my self-checking. So my advice for the listener is do some self-checking. Write down about love and then ask yourself, are you a selfish lover, unconditional lover, or dangerous lover? Loves can be corrupt, like beautiful milk. If you don't take care of it properly, then bugs will be friend of yours. And then we drink and we'll have diarrhea. So love has to be pure. Then check about, what is your attitude towards other human? Do you think that they are your enemy? Do you think you need to be separated from them? Or do you think that, nothing should be a barrier to become friendly to another human? Just check this, because we have lots and lots of things inside us that for our own wrong thinking we are actually creating barrier. So check this. If you can also find, okay, I'll break the barrier and I can be friendly no matter what they do, then the third thing, you think yourself that the world is bad, does that mean you have to be bad too? What is your ambition? Do you want to be a very honorable human, or you want to be a low-graded human just because the neighbor is abusive, or just because someone hates you? Do you want to be a hater, or you want to be better? Just think of that. And if you choose that, I want to be better, Then these three things, and the fourth thing is you think about healing, not causing more sickness. Mm. If we don't forgive, then we are borrowing troubles. It will make us sick. It will, you know, as I said in my speech, that it will be a volcanic heart. Do we want that? You know, just for one bad thing happen, do we want to, you know, give away the happiness for the rest of our life? It doesn't make sense. We need healing. We need survival. We need to be, you know, happy, you know, in this life. We have to enjoy everything we have, you know, what we have. So my leg is paralyzed, but my rest of the body is still active. So for the paralyzed leg, do I think and you know, destroy the rest of the, you know, body, or shall I just accept it and swallow the bullet and then focus on what I have? So these sort of common things, you know, if we can apply, then we can see that forgiveness is the best process of healing ourselves and healing others.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that, for your story and your insights. You said earlier in our conversation that you didn't pretend to have wisdom and be wise, but I think listening to you talk about how you think about forgiveness, how you think about sort of checking in with our emotions and how we think about other people and humanity, that you have a lot of wisdom. So thank you so much for sharing it with me, for having this conversation with me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Tea with the High Commission. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please leave a review and make sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. You can find us on iTunes or Spotify. Thank you very much, and Ka Kite Anō.